How many of you, by show of hands, you have ever played a game of swords with somebody, whether fake, make-believe, but you have taken a sword and you have wielded that thing in a way to conquer and to have a little bit of fun? I'm telling you, I'm a little excited for this morning. The idea of swords is that you would take these things in defensive postures. You would also then turn it into offense where you could hurt and go after somebody. The only regret that I have about this morning so far, just so that you're aware of this, is I was unable to land the classic sword called the lightsaber. I couldn't find it from Star Trek, right? That series Star Trek and Spock. I was unable to get that, so I'm totally sorry. All you Star Wars fans right now are twitching in your seats, and I love it, but it is what it is, right? But we would, swords were such a thing. Like, I've had so many different ones and so many types. In fact, probably one of the more famous sword moments in movie folklore would be from The Princess Bride, where we have the classic line, "My name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die." Totally wrong accent on my part, I understand that, but nonetheless, like, it's one of the most classic movies that you have. But like, even this sword, like, this is a pretty heavy duty one. I like it, it's good, but I don't want this one. Probably my favorite sword that I want to start with though today is this one right here. Now, this sword has a real important part of my life. See, when I was in Bible college, we played this game, and it was kind of a spinoff off of this TV show called The Highlander. Does anybody remember The Highlander? There could only be one. Yeah, like it was that movie. And so we played this game in Bible college where if you wanted to participate, you submitted your name, it went into this big draw, and the objective was that you were given a name, and then you had to kill that person. I mean, not physically, not literally, but like it was a game. And so what we would do is we'd go to the dollar store and we'd buy these plastic little pieces of sword to kind of, because you had to be in a duel. You needed to actually like bring the kill shot to a person. It was tons of fun. But what we would do is we would cut this open and then we would insert into the sword a piece of steel or a piece of wood. And to make it a little bit more sturdy, you cinch it back up, and then you see your name, you'd go find the person. The objective was that you had to kill them, but you couldn't do it on Sunday, and you couldn't do it in a church. I mean, that was just one of the things. And so in the most random of places, you roll out from underneath somebody's car. Gotcha. Like, you had to do it in secret. Nobody could witness the kill either. That was the hard part about it. So like, you're out in the sticks or out in the forest, and you're having this epic duel of proportions, and it was just so much fun. And I'm proud to say, everybody, that I didn't even win. I wasn't that good at it, but this Highlander-style swords, and I just want to set the record straight here today. Your pastor does not have an issue with aggression or swords, okay? Like, these are not all of mine, but when we knew we were leading to this moment, I had people coming out of the woodworks. You want my sword? You want my sword? Yes, I do. I want all of them, because we're going to have some fun with swords this morning. In fact, I propose to you, I may not even get to preaching. I just may have fun playing with what we're going to do here, but swords. We're going to talk about swords today. And the greatest of all of the swords on this table hold nothing in comparison to this sword right here. And that's what we're going to talk about. And so, if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 is our verse today. And I'm going to supplement it with other verses from the Bible that tell us about this sword that we're going to talk about. So it reads, "Put on salvation as your helmet." Pastor Tyson did a fantastic job on that last week. So if you haven't heard it, make sure you go back and take a listen to that. And then it says, "And take," say it with me, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the word." Somebody say word. In particular, though, there is another word in brackets there. I need you to understand this word today, and we're going to talk about it. But it is the word called rhema. Somebody say rhema. So what it would read is this, which is the rhema of God. The word is an English word. Rhema is the understanding of it. Let's jump though to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. There's that again. For the word, but somebody say logos this time. For the logos of God is alive and powerful. Like, this book right here is alive and powerful is what it's saying. It says that it's sharper than any sword that you see on this table. It is cutting between soul and spirit. It has the ability to go between joint and marrow. It exposes your innermost thoughts and desires. How cool is that today? Would you love your innermost thoughts and desires displayed on the screen this morning? Well, that's what this book can do. It's fantastic. But then 2 Timothy verses or chapter 3, 16 and 17, it says all scripture. Somebody say all. All of it. All of scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. How many of you know you got something wrong with your life right now? This is what the Word of God does. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us, though, to do what is right, and God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. So let's pray as we read the Word of the Lord today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what it means to us. And I pray that you teach us today. Help us to fall in love with the sword of the Spirit. Help us to know how to apply it to our lives in this spiritual battle. And we'll give you thanks and glory, praise for it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We are just about at the conclusion of our spiritual warfare series, which we have been lifting over the last several weeks. The idea is that there is an enemy. The war that we are in is spiritual, and it's legitimate. And Paul, as he is the author of the text that we have read today, he sits in prison, and he sees the Roman soldier. And the part of the Roman soldier that he wants to pull out today is the sword. He notices the effect, the power and the purpose of a sword, and he actually wants to place it into the spiritual armor for us. Now, on this table today, we have swords that have come through different generations. They are made with different substances, from iron, from carbon and steel, and that's where we land on carbon steel as a type of substance that can happen today. And we know this about this substance is like it creates a very dangerous object. So we've got these different types of substance that formulate these swords. But you'll also notice that there are a different variety of swords that are presented here on the table today. Again, I showed you plastic sword, which many of you have probably held before. But really, it all began with something like this, except not plastic. It was just a dagger. Something short, something acute that could kind of get the job done. And then it began to take on a little bit different of shape as we go through the generations. So you could take something like this sword, the spatha, which comes out of European countries. But you'll notice that it became a little bit longer for battle. People could do maybe a little bit more damage, especially as they rode, you know, different animals into war. There were a lot of different things. So we've got those moments. We've got something like the good old katana. Brilliant, brilliant sword, sharper than anything. Coming out of Asian descent and Japanese, you'll notice one thing about this sword is that it only has one sharp side to it. So the objective is to play fruit ninja. And this is what I think of with this sword. Somebody throw an apple right now and watch my skills. But the katana is just it's really a slash feature to kind of get something done in damage to somebody else. It's very similar to the scimitar that comes out of the Middle East. In fact, I was given another sword for the purposes of our time today. And this is a military sword, but it was so close to what I wanted to see in the respect of the rapier sword, which comes out of French and Spanish descent. And I'm thinking about the movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, things like that, where you're dueling and you're having these actions with everybody. So many different swords, and yet Paul, when he sits in this prison, He looks at the Roman sword, and I do have to say today that probably the coolest sword that sits on here would be what is known in Rome as the gladius, a beautiful sword, which we would begin to see that in Roman combat, as they held up their shield, they could get into certain areas of somebody's life, and there was two purposes to this sword. It was short, it was very sharp, but two-sided now. And it had the ability, and a soldier would use it in the idea of slashing, and would come after you, or if they're in close proximity, the thrust, the kill shot. So a Roman soldier knew full well what was happening with this type of sword, the gladius. Somebody who was able to wield the sword and to use it was known as a swordsman. And so the idea and the art of being able to operate a sword is swordsmanship. But I don't know if you caught what I was telling you just a moment ago. The Latin word for the sword was gladius, which is the English word for gladiator. One of the greatest movies that has ever been made. Maximus, Decimus, Meridius, leader of the Roman armies. Now, for those of you that think Gladiator is actually like a legit, honest movie, it's not, FYI. There are some fabrications to make a story, but they did pull out of Roman culture and history many of the features of the film, so much so that Gladiator 2 is coming out this November. Let's go. But this is interesting, right? The purpose of the sword is purely offensive. It wants to get some damage done. It wants to kill the enemy to move forward, whether through slashing to invoke like pain and wounded, to the thrust shot, to the kill shot. When an enemy comes at you, you've got something like this that can actually be used in close combat. An enemy is going to come, is really what we've been advocating for in this series. But then God says, here's a tool, though, that can actually bring you some victory in your life. And did you know that God wants to give you a weapon like this so that you can stand in this spiritual battle? It's quite fascinating to me that the imagery of sword is something that we can play with today. To say all this, did you know that God wants you to be a gladiator as well, in the spiritual battle that is in front of us? And so, looking at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I want to pull out three things from this text today to share with us as we head into our week. The first one is this, is that the Holy Spirit is the substance of this sword. Iron, carbon, steel, make these. But the substance of this sword is the Holy Spirit of God. The word that is used in spirit is the word pneuma, which means breath. And I got to tell you today, the breath of the Holy Spirit is far greater than any sword and what it can do to you in this life. And so what we see today is that the sword is the word of God. It's directed by the Spirit, and he wants to teach us some things. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which we read just moments ago, indicates to us some of the things that the Word of God does in our life. It's going to teach you and I truth. It's going to also help us to reveal the wrong. How many of you know that the person sitting beside you has done wrong in their life? Can you, if you know that to be true, yeah, no one? Okay. Perfect people in a place. That's a good place to be. But we see this about the Word of God. It says that it will also correct us. It will prepare you. It's going to equip you if you allow it to do so. What's fascinating to me is that Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 4, he's in a desert. And it says that for 40 days, he's gone into this hot space. He's not eating. And all of a sudden, the enemy shows up. He's known as Satan or the devil. And in Matthew chapter 4, the devil brings three propositional statements to him, and they all start with the word if. If you are, if you can, and if you can be able to. And what does Jesus do in that moment? He actually just looks at this enemy, and he's like, and he begins to quote him scripture. This is Jesus. He is God. And yet Jesus in a desert begins to speak back to this enemy, and he begins to quote him scripture. So much so that the enemy gets annoyed with Jesus, and he peaces out. Jesus himself wanted and knew the Word of God. As a Jewish boy, they actually had to learn the first five books of the Bible. And I got to tell you, good luck trying to do that. But they know it inside and out, memorized it. And so when Jesus is standing there in that desert or sitting, and the devil comes, he's like, I got to tell you, devil, I know a better answer than you. It's interesting to me because when we see that the Holy Spirit is the substance of this book, it shows us that there is a power in this book that we cannot underestimate when we need it. In fact, the Holy Spirit today wants to breathe on us, and he wants us to be aware of a couple of things when it comes to the sword of the Spirit and what it means for you. And how I'm going to explain this to you is the words that we read together at the very beginning, but it is the words logos and rhema. So let's take a look at what the logos and the rhema is for us today. The logos, which is this, it refers principally to the total inspired word of God. The logos is this, it's a Bible. It's what has been given to each and every single one of us. And not only that, this is interesting because in John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word is God. The word that we see in John chapter 1 is this, logos. In the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, we've been given the Word. And the Word also refers to Jesus. He's the logos. That's actually what the Greek word is there. And so all of a sudden we get this idea is that it carries more of an objective position to us. We need the logos. We need the word of God to understand today what are God's purposes or what does he have for you? Or what are the things that he needs you to understand that teach you, correct you, show you who you need to be in followership of Jesus? Logos is very important for us. And it is objective most of the time. But then there is this transition in our text, and we've read them today too, is that then it turns to the rhema. And the rhema word actually means an utterance. And what happens here is that this is a verse that the Holy Spirit will pull out of this book somewhere that you've probably read. The Holy Spirit will draw it to our attention. He will apply it to an application or a certain situation that you have been in, and it becomes a little bit more personal. It becomes more subjective because it suddenly becomes a personal experience. And I would dare to say that many of you have experienced a rhema word of God where something that you've read for a really long time or you've known for a really long time and there's just that one moment where God says, I'm going to speak this to you. The interesting part about the logos and the rhema is that we are encouraged to move from logos to rhema and that you can do that. We saw that in the Hebrews 4 text, that this is everything to do with the logos, the word of God. It is there for you, and it's going to do all of those things that you see on the screen here today. But not only that, it transitions us to the text out of Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, and pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. So there is a transition that's going to happen in our lives where, yeah, we read this, but then what God is saying, in this battle, when the enemy comes and you're in combat and you're in a place, God is going to breathe pneuma, his spirit on your life, and he's going to call the thing that he needs to say to you so that you are able to stand when an enemy comes your way. I think this is brilliant and beautiful at the same time. Let me share with you an example of moving from logos to rhema, and it happened to me. Just this week, here's the text, Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. I've read this my whole entire life. I've memorized these words. This is logos to me, what you see on the screen right now. And it's this interaction with Peter, one of my favorite characters. Satan comes to him and he says to Jesus, Jesus is talking with Peter, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Like, again, let's punctuate the spiritual battle and the warfare that we're in. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to see what you're made of. And he's going to come at every single direction at your life. That's why we need to know our armor and we need to know what he is doing. And so, but God says this over, or Jesus says this over Peter's life, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Peter, that your faith should not, say it with me, fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. I was sitting with some men this week and we were doing a study and this verse happened to pop up. Let me show you the transfer from logos, something I've known a really long time, to rhema. And this is what it says. When it came to that word, the instructor and the teacher showed me this, is that that word fail is the Greek word eklepo. The Greek word eklepo is now the root word for an English word that is called eclipse. Have you ever seen an eclipse before? You see what it does when it has the sun and it comes directly in front of the sun to block it out. And in that moment when I'm being taught, it was God saying to me, Sean, what are the eclipses that an enemy has placed in your life that has blocked the sun from shining through? And in that moment, I had to do a little bit of homework on my own soul. I had to allow God to identify in me, Sean, I've prayed for you too, that your faith should not be eclipsed by something an enemy is trying to do to you. That sin and that error that is there, the eclipse, allow the sun to shine back through it. See, what happens is that God has the ability through the Spirit's empowerment to take the Logos word, something I've known a really long time, and he makes it personal. He makes it experiential for us. And I believe today that you have probably had something like that as well. David Guzik says this about this idea, to effectively use the sword, we must regard it as the word of God, which is the word of God. If we are not confident in the inspiration of Scripture, that the sword really came from the Spirit, then we will not use it effectively at all. This is not just a fun suggestion, nor a rainy day solution, this book. This book is the inspired word of God. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is he wants to breathe on all of us today. He wants us to know the Logos, and that at just the right time, he's going to bring a rhema word, and he's going to make the pages of this book come to life for you. And so today, we want to understand that the Holy Spirit is the substance for it. Second thing that I want to show us today is the effects of the sword. I got to tell you today, I really wanted to come to church and stab somebody with a sword. And so I'm looking for a participant. Here's the sword I'm going to use. You want to be stabbed. Look at this brave, brave hand. So the reality is you can stay seated. We've all played because you're going to die. Anyway, so like this idea of seeing this sword, well, it makes tons of sense. And we've probably all played it with the swords that we've swung before. And we've done the kill shots. Now, Ellie, hold up your arm just a little bit. It's like, I'm going to stab you. Like, and like, we know that. Okay, so this is really easy. Now, don't clap for her yet. Because Ellie, that's the easy part. Let's do it right now with this one. Are you ready to do this one? If I make a slight mistake, you're sliced. See, the reality is the tone changes, doesn't it? Now that I'm holding this type of a sword. Here's my thought, though. Why do you think an enemy would look at this any differently? If this sword is that powerful to us humans, do you think the devil himself stands in a little bit of fear when you actually hold up the sword of the Spirit? He gets a little bit panicked himself. He gets a little bit full of a little bit of fear because of what the sword could do. You see, folks, there is an effect to the swords that we will use in our lives. And it is no different than the effects of the sword that is the word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, we are told that this sword, the Bible, it cuts and it pierces. And notice that a good sword, it's got two edges and two sides. It's dangerous. It's sharp. The word of God is that much more effective. And so the enemy, when you hold up the word of God and you recite back to him the word of God, he's petrified as well. That's why Jesus in a desert quotes scripture at his enemy and he flees. The next time you are scared, let me challenge you. Quote the word of God. Watch what happens in your life. My dad has had several heart attacks in his life. And I remember the first time that he had his heart attack. And it was old school technology at that stage. Their strategy was to tear open the chest to go get it. And I remember sitting with the surgeon and kind of afraid, actually. Like, do you know what you're doing? And that surgeon sat there with just certainty in his voice, and I know what I'm doing. And he goes, the thing with us surgeons is that we have to bring a precision to what we're about to do. And I thought about that after my dad successfully got out of surgery. But a surgeon's precision. Do Do you know that one of the effects of the sword is that you have got a surgeon whose precision is perfect for your life spiritually? He knows what to do. He knows how to get it. And guess what? He's not going to hurt you along the way. He's going to set your life up in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Did you notice the other effects of this sword? It says that it's alive and it's active. It says that this word, if you want it, will build your life up. This sword of the Spirit is full of promises. And you know what we need to do today? We need to get back to claiming the promises of God and believing what God says is true in our lives. This sword that I hold here today is going to bring precision in your life. Have you ever sat in a session before like this and you're like, man, the preacher is speaking right at me today? Have you ever experienced this before? I want you to know this about preachers. We know everything, okay? Like, it's a thing, right? I've sat in your seats. I've had preachers, teachers, speakers speak at me, and I'm like, why are you reading my mail? It's because the precision of this surgeon is beautiful, and he knows where you're at, and he knows what you're doing, and he knows what you need, and so he brings this to make us alive again. And I love what Daryl Johnson says about the word today. He said, Jesus' word not only informs, it performs. So it's one thing to have this knowledge, but I'm here to tell you today that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive and powerful, and it will perform in your life if you allow it to. And then the last thing that I want us to do today is I actually want you to start swinging the sword. Any more participants? I want you to swing the sword. I shared a couple of weeks ago an illustration out of Judges chapter 1 when we talked about the shoes of peace, and it said that one of the tactics in war from an enemy king was that he would approach the men and he would cut off their big toes and he would cut off their thumbs. And I tried practicing this week, believe it or not, of not having my thumb in holding a sword. And I got to tell you, it's super awkward. And if I decided to swing this sword again, somebody's going to get stabbed for real. But thumbs. And what I was thinking about again is, has the devil cut off your spiritual thumbs so that you're unable to hold the sword of the Spirit? See, I think like one of his tactics is let's eliminate in the people of God the ability to know the Word of God. I think he's very crafty to occupy us with things when it comes to our time that don't focus on the Word. We could fill our lives with so many other things, and I wonder, have we lost the ability to hold the Word of God as our sword? I mean, it's food for thought for us for sure. I was thinking about all you Star Wars fans, I'll quit picking on you. I was watching a Star Wars series myself this week, a new one. And one of the things that I found fascinating in the show was these young Jedis, when they would come in contact with the enemy, they would take their lightsabers and they would be like, ching, 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 and they were blocking the attack. And I love that because I actually think the Word of God is defensive. When the devil comes at you, you could defensively hold the Word of God. But what these Jedis were doing is that they did the ching, ching, ching. Cool sound effects, eh? Like, that's just the best. But then they turn their lightsaber and they do this, wham! And they would kill their enemy. And like, this is what I'm talking about. It is time for us again today to swing the sword. We are so afraid sometimes of the enemy, but you forget that you're already on the winning side with Jesus. And so you have the ability to deflect and to defend, but then you come at him with what you know. That God has never left me nor forsaken me. God loves me. I'm more than enough. There are so many things from Scripture that we could begin to hold in tension with what an enemy is trying to do in our lives. And today, we need to know that out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth is going to speak, our bodies are going to act, which proposes one question. What are you putting in your heart? Are you allowing the Word of God to go in your heart that when he comes, and he is coming, the devil, that we know what to do and how to do it? Are you allowing the Word of God into your life? And I love this one author's quote. It says that the more we read the written Word, even storing it up in us by memorizing and musing over it, the more God can speak instant words to us. Our ability to take the Word and to learn it and to know it is something that is going to be a game changer for our lives. A number of weeks ago, at my door knocks, and I go and I look at who's standing there, and there were some Mormons at my door. And I love those moments when they come. I'm like, you have no clue what you're about to get into. But the fascinating thing to me at this stage was this: they were teenagers this time. Not adults, teenagers. And I stood there at my door and I'm like, you're nothing but babies right now. But I was so impressed with the scripture that they started to quote at me. I'm like, you know more scripture than people I know who've walked with Jesus for a really long time. And although I think that they are a little misguided, I was stunned. But it reminded me of us today. Psalm 119, verses 11. Your word I have stored or hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Let me ask you, when's the last time you stored, like a good old squirrel with some nuts, stored the word of God in your heart so that you wouldn't sin against him? Or Joshua 1:8, I want you to speak the word. And I want you to meditate, and I want you to sit on it, and I want you to know it. Do you find it intriguing today, folks, that we can recite back commercials, songs, and stories? But how about God's word? We are so occupied with the other stuff, and yet the sword of the Spirit is the one thing that we need in our lives. So I have one action step for you today, and it is this. When is the last time you memorized something in Scripture? I used to do this a lot as a kid. I would get stickers and prizes for reciting back to my teachers. It was awesome. And even with that bribery, today, when I sit in situations and circumstances, I'm like, God, I have no clue what to do, what to say. Another piece of Scripture says that at just the right time, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Because why? He is the substance of the word. He's going to breathe into you the right thing to say so that you know. And I got to tell you, time after time, the scriptures that I memorized as a kid come back into my mind. But here, I want to talk to us adults for a second. Adults, just because you're your age, and have you stopped memorizing this book though? It's important for us to get to the word. You memorize a lot of different things, telephone numbers, emails, all of it. But what about the word of God? And kids who are in this place, learn this book. I'm telling you, this book will change your life if you allow it to. Study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and know that when you do, you begin to swing the sword at an enemy. And the enemy is on an attack on this young generation these days. Young people in this room today, swing the sword. Memorize the word of God today. I gotta finish this. Notice how dangerous and sharp this is. So let me give you a caution as well. I understand it's another message unto itself, but let me just give this to you today. It's dangerous as a sword. And I actually think that when it comes to the Word of God, let me speak this caution, that too many people abuse and misapply the Word of God on yourself and the misinterpretation of Scripture. And then you do it on others. In fact, you take the word of God and you weaponize it against other people. And I want to caution you that you could use the sword, the word of God, properly, and you could use it improperly. So find good counsel within that process. It's going to be important for us. Will you stand with me this morning? And ask a question of all of us here. Does God's word have the first say in your life and the last say? I think many of us, if we're honest, we like the last say part, because it's after I've gone and done my thing and I've gone through my experiences and my moments. Oh yeah, God rescued me, so he has the last say. But does he have the first say? Instead of running to any other option to help the situation, let me suggest to you today, the offensive weapon that he gives us is his word. Will you allow him to have the first say in your life? The word of God is living and active, so let it breathe upon you. If there is anyone who is even here today and you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one at the end of today. Come see me when we're done. We'll put a Bible into your hands. Why? Because it's the most important weapon you can have if you want to follow Jesus Christ. So we'll place a Bible there. You're a gladiator. And I want you folks today to wield this sword with precision and power and confidence, because an enemy hates it, but your Father loves it. You're a gladiator. Act like it. Go and slay some enemies this week because of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. And again, thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. And over, it has set me free and it has saved my bacon. And I'm thankful. Today, Father, I want to pray a prayer over our church that you would give us a passion and a fire to go after your word, that we would study it, memorize it, meditate on it. I pray that you would forgive us, Father, for perhaps becoming illiterate when it has come to your word. And that gently you would steer us back to its pages, understanding that it is the inspired voice of God for us. And I pray that as we pay attention to it, you're going to cut away the things that are not healthy for me, but then you're going to build me up and you're going to tell me the hope and the promise and the future that I have. So help us to be a people who love your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, as you make your way out of here, perhaps you've never submitted your life to Christ, who is the word, the Logos. See, the best part about this book right here is, if I could do this kind of roughly, the whole book points itself to these pages. Everything right here points it to this, and everything beyond it points it to this. You want to know what this is? The Logos. His name is Jesus. This whole book is a story about him and his incredible love and pursuit of us today. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you, he can set your life free and put you on a trajectory of hope for a future that he has built for you. And if you would love to learn more about this Jesus, I'm going to encourage you to text the word life to 250-478-7113. One of our pastors would love to come on a journey with you. If you're brand new to Colwood Church, welcome. We like to have some fun with some things sometimes. I believe Pastor Tyson is going to be kicking around in our welcome center. So if you're new, please go say hi to him. But other than that, go kick some butt this week. You got an enemy at play, so go be a gladiator. Slay him. All right. Love you, church. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.